Attributes of God. God is just. Since He is the standard of right and wrong, every judgment He makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Shh, don't tell anybody. I'm in the student center, and I don't know if this is illegal or not. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio, having a chat with a fellow in a black robe who's dressed up like a druid, if you will. We're going to just keep on chatting with him. Okay, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a test on that. All right? This is going to be a little painful, but it might be enlightening, and it might be helpful for you like it was for me, because you and I maybe were in the very same place at one point. How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime, Drew?
Can't answer that.
Because there's so many?
No, because I don't keep track.
But you've told lies?
Yes.
All right. All right, specifically then, if you knew that I told lies, what name would you give me? You'd call me a... Rhymes with pants on fire.
You mean liar?
Yes, sir. Yeah? You'd be a liar like I'm a liar?
Maybe.
Okay. How many things have you stolen in your life? Whether it's downloading music, time from your boss, change from your parents' pants pocket, anything that didn't belong to you. It doesn't have to be going into a store and shoplifting. Just taking anything that wasn't yours.
Probably, I would say anywhere between 20 to 25 times.
All right.
So over 3/4 of those I got caught.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you're not a good thief?
No.
All right, but you're a thief nonetheless.
Or I would have been at a point in time, yes.
All right, right. Okay. How many times have you used your eyes to look at a human being to lust? Have thoughts in your brain that, well, you probably wouldn't want other people to know about.
Well, until I was about 13, absolutely none. Because you know how that is. But between 13 and now, probably... Yeah, that one would be uncountable, too.
All right. So you've, if you will, committed adultery in your heart. Nobody saw it.
I see where you're going with this, I think. You're saying that I claim a religion, I claim someone as my God, I claim to know, but at the same time not know, and then you're saying that sometimes things that I've done within my life that would be considered bad in the eyes of that God, it seems like can be done at any moment of any day. End of story for your entire life.
Nope, it's not where I'm going with
you. That's not where you're going?
But you're a thinking guy, and I like that. Let me tell you where I'm going with this. Two restaurants. First restaurant is in trouble and going out of business. Second restaurant is in trouble and going out of business. They have that in common. But the first restaurant has killer food. Really, really good stuff. Great service, white linen napkins, the whole shebang. Second one, really dumpy kitchen, and you wouldn't want to see the kitchen where the food is coming out. Now let's imagine a man who wanted to rescue those restaurants, all right? He was good and he thought, I can save those restaurants by eating there every single day, all right?
All right.
Because that way they'll get lots of money and they'll be able to pay off their creditors. Now imagine the guy who goes to the restaurant where it's linen tablecloths and great food. Now he spends a lot of money there, but he gets something pretty good in return. Now, he'd be a pretty good savior. But contrast that to the guy who goes to the restaurant where the food is fly-infested and disgusting and terrible and stale. Now, he continued to give his business to spend money there, to rescue that restaurant. And really, all he got back was a stomach ache and food poisoning. Now, which guy would be a better savior?
The guy who gets something good in return, sure, he's a savior, but at the same time, he is, it seems like, expecting something back. Whereas the guy who goes to the bad restaurant isn't expecting anything back, anything good out of it at all, but he's doing it anyway because he wants to save the restaurant.
That's it. Here's why I shared that anecdote with you, Drew. Christianity is about Jesus not saving the restaurant with bad food, but saving bad people. And until you get to the place where you understand you're the bad restaurant, you're the bad person, you will not esteem the sacrifice of the Savior. And I wonder if that's maybe what happened to you when you had some sort of an experience, that you didn't understand what Jesus came to do for you.
That could very easily be true, considering some of the stuff that has happened to me in my life.
Drew, when we understand that we're really bad people, that we lust, that we lie, that we dishonor our parents, we use God's name in vain, and yet He loved us so much, He came to rescue us from the judgment and the wrath that is to come. All the sins that we commit, yeah, they're against people, but primarily they're against God. And yet, instead of giving you wrath right now, He offers you mercy and kindness. Because God is just, and because He's righteous, He's keeping tabs on everything that you do. Everything you think, He's got it recorded. Everything you do and fail to do, every time you've eaten a meal and you didn't say, "Thank you, God, for providing for me," every time you didn't do what was right, He knows it. And He's going to give you what you've earned. But He's rich in mercy. And He, despite us, loves us and wants to save us. But here's the dilemma. Here's the tension. God's righteous. He's got to punish you. But He loves you and He wants to forgive you. But if He forgives you, that wouldn't be loving and it wouldn't be just. So instead, He sent His Son, Jesus, who's God Himself, to take the wrath that you deserve when He was beaten and put on the cross and crucified and killed. That's what should happen to you forever. But instead, Jesus did that for you so that you could be seen as not guilty, so that righteousness and mercy could co-mingle and mercy could win at the cross. That is what Jesus did for you, a sinner. And until you realize how bad you are, that He would come to save a wretch like you, you don't understand who Jesus is and what He's done. It starts out by knowing you, and then when you understand what He's done for you, then you go, you know what? I want to follow Him. I don't want to keep the rules to earn His favor. I want to keep the rules because He gave me favor through Jesus. It's radically different. It's not about keeping rules because you have to earn heaven. You're obedient because you just want to, because He's done everything for you. That's the good news of the gospel. That's Christianity.
Thank you for the reality check. It's been a very long time since I've heard somebody actually outright say those words to me. Maybe I should try a little bit harder.
Try what a little harder?
Try to get to know God and Jesus a little bit better.
But I want you to understand something, okay? A lot of people get confused inside of Christianity.
I do understand that, because I am one of those people. It's back and forth, back and forth. But there's no back and forth about it. It's either you do or you don't. End of story.
No. He's either God.
Yes.
And either you're a sinner or you're not.
Yep.
And either Jesus came to save you or He didn't.
That's true.
So if it's true, then you need to determine what you're going to do with that. Am I going to reject this amazing offer of kindness? Or am I going to humble myself, throw myself at His feet for mercy, and be in a right relationship with the most loving, kind thing in the universe? So there you have it, dude. Please ponder this today.
I shall.
And please note this, too. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, forgives you of all of your sins, all of them. Your past, the sins that you're maybe even thinking right now, and any sin that you'd commit in the future, forgiven, completely nailed to the tree, and there is nothing you can ever do to get them forgiven. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid it all.
Hmm.
Everything. Completely done. It's called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can't do anything to earn his favor. All you've done is earn his wrath. Jesus earned favor for you. And it should cause you to love that Jesus more than anything in the world, because nobody has loved you more than him. Make sense?
Yes, sir,
that way, you never try to earn your way to heaven, but you live in joyful response because heaven has been earned for you. It should cause you to click your heels. You should never the rest of your life have to go, I wonder if God's mad at me today. When you repent, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus, God will never cast you out, ever. You will be his child because of what Jesus did for you. He's immutable, is the theological term. He doesn't change. And he will not change his mind about you. But you have to change your mind about him. Okay?
I understand.
Drew?
Thank you, sir.
It was a joy to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
All right, man. You have a great day, right?
Yes, I will.
See ya.
Thank you.
Goodbye. It's Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me tell you exactly what's happening at Fortis Institute, because it's pretty remarkable. While most organizations are scaling back, we're scaling up. We have 8 new voices reaching millions of people all over the world, adding more radio stations monthly, and churches are getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And no, this is not going to be one of those fundraising pitches where we tell you that the sky is falling. Quite the opposite. We're growing, we're reaching more people, and we're seeing more impact than ever before. The problem isn't that we're struggling, it's that we can't keep up with the demand for biblical truth. That's a good problem to have, and that's where you come in. Right now, every gift to Fortis Institute is doubled through a matching grant. That means double the resources, double the reach, double the impact. And unlike all of those late night TV offers, this one's actually legitimate. Think about it. More believers equipped, more churches strengthened, and more truth being taught. And your gift makes twice the impact until December 31st. Just visit FortisInstitute.org to get all of the details. FortisInstitute.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org, and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture. understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are at Gainesville State University, Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Right now I'm sitting here with Anna. Is that correct, Anna?
Yes.
And you're willing to let me talk to you on the radio, right?
Yes.
All right. And you said something interesting. You've got a Bible there, and you said you wanted to maybe learn how to share your faith better.
Right.
All right? So here's what we'll do. I'm gonna try to witness to you as if you are an unregenerate heathen. I'm going to try to witness to you, and you tell me if you think that this is a good approach. All right?
Okay.
Now, before I embark on that, here's the question. You want to witness and share the gospel with somebody, right?
Right.
Specifically, what is the gospel? What is the good news?
The good news is Christ is alive.
Okay. And why is that good news?
Because it means we're forgiven and we're not separated from God anymore.
All right, so right on. The key issue is forgiveness of sins. If somebody doesn't have their sins forgiven, what's going to happen to them when they die?
They're separated from God forever in hell.
Yeah, yeah. Bad place.
Yeah.
Where they get punished for their sins, right?
Right.
So keeping that in mind, the issue is forgiveness of sins, because sometimes as evangelicals, we make the gospel a little something else. For instance, maybe you've heard this. You've tried sex, drugs, rock and roll. You've got a big house, but you still have a God-shaped hole in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus will fill that hole. So people go, oh, you know what? I have been feeling that way. So they ask Jesus into their heart in kind of an experimental fashion. You know, they try it to see if maybe this is the drug that they need to ease their conscience or their pain. But they don't come to Jesus because he's a good God who died to save them from the wrath that is to come.
Right.
So when we keep that in view, it helps us to focus in a witness encounter. Sometimes people will say, are you sick? Do you need healing? Jesus will heal your physical ailments. And so somebody who's been in a wheelchair or they've had chronic pain, they go, okay, I'll come to Jesus. And they come seeking gifts, but they don't come seeking the giver of every good thing.
Right.
So we want to make sure that as we share the gospel, we're laser-like in making the issue about forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And a good way to do that is to use the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Paul said in Galatians 3 that the law is a schoolmaster. It's like a tutor that you would have here on campus to bring you to the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
How do we use the law to teach people they need a Savior? I think Paul demonstrated it in Romans 2. Jesus demonstrated it in Luke chapter 18 with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came up and said, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? Now, we might be inclined to say, well, ask me into your heart and you're good to go. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus used the law to help the rich young ruler understand he was not worthy of heaven. And so he walked him through the laws of God, the Ten Commandments. So if I were going to witness to you, I would say, have you kept the Ten Commandments? What would you say?
No.
No. So you've lied?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Have you stolen something?
Yes.
Mm. Have you ever been angry at somebody, unjustly called them bad names, thought they were idiots because of the way they drive?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the rest of us. And Jesus warned that you're in danger of judgment because we're murderers at heart when we're just towards somebody.
Right.
So now here's our situation. We're all liars. We're all thieves. We're all murderers at heart. We die. We face God on Judgment Day. God is good and he's holy and he's just and he hates sin very much.
Mm-hmm.
What should he do with a guilty criminal like you who's a sinner? Should he take you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
Probably send me to hell.
Yeah.
Can't have a mangy dog in your house.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly correct. Now, what has God done so that the mangy dogs don't need to go to hell? What has God done to rescue the dogs?
Well, he's sent his son to clean them up and wash them clean.
And to take the wrath of God that's aimed at the mangy dogs for biting the hands of the master and being disobedient. Right? So Jesus Christ, if you will, became the mangy dog who deserves the beating from the master, and he took the beating for us.
Yeah.
So that the wrath that you should receive, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, took the wrath on your behalf. Because despite the fact that we are mangy dogs, he loves us anyway. And so forgiveness of sins is available because of the goodness of Jesus Christ being punished for your sins and keeping all the commandments that you and I, the mangy dogs, have broken. But now, here's the thing, Anna. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is available. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have Jesus' goodness credited to my account, to have the wrath of God placed on him instead of me? What must I do?
Well, I've been taught to say, ask Jesus into your heart, repeat a prayer after me. But I think there's a lot more to it than that. That seems just kind of like, okay, yay, I said the prayer, now what?
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm a little bit at a loss for what else to say.
I think you're right in thinking, wow, that seems odd. I asked Jesus into my heart. It just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. The response to this good news is to turn from your sins, not to become perfect, but to hate the things that were dirty, that made you a mangy dog. To turn from them, say you're sorry, to call out to God for mercy, just like any penitent person would who's offended somebody. And you turn from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And he promises when you do that, you'll be forgiven of all of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. And he'll change you from a mangy dog and he'll turn you into the image of his son. And you'll inherit eternal life because God is that good. Mm-hmm. Now, two thoughts for you. I did not accuse you of being a sinner. Did you notice? I didn't go, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a blasphemer. I simply asked you questions. So to help the sinner understand their need for sin, you can draw their confession of guilt out by simply asking questions. Not by angrily shouting, you're going to hell, but to make hell reasonable by opening up the law of God so they can see it like a mirror that they look at and go, wow, I'm dirty, I'm unclean. And then they see that they can be cleansed because of the living water, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And this is crucial too, okay? I don't know if maybe you're experiencing this in your own heart. The reason that you should repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ is not simply to escape the wrath of God. This is important. He poured out justice on himself so that justice could be satisfied. And we should turn from our wicked ways and flee to him, not because we're scared of hell, but because he has been so kind to save us from hell. Romans 2, it's the kindness of God that leads us to salvation. We should want to turn from our sins because we see them for what they are, and we see him for the amazing thing that he is, our God and our Savior. And we flee to him because we now want him more than we wanted our sins.
Right.
So it's really important that we examine our motive to make sure that we don't just come looking for the gifts. We don't come just looking to escape hell. We come looking to the giver, to the rescuer, because he is better than anything else in the world. Jesus is better than anything.
Amen.
So there you go. There's my little presentation to you.
Okay.
You're the teacher. What grade do I get?
I'd say you get an A.
Really?
Yeah. That was really good. Thank you.
Okay. So now you've repented and put your trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is key too. All right? And this is sometimes what people forget about the gospel. We hear that good news and we go, wow, God will save a mangy dog. Okay, I repented. I put my trust in Jesus. I don't need the gospel anymore. Mm-hmm. And sometimes then we spend our days trying to do things to stay saved. And we have motives that suggest that we aren't remembering the gospel. You haven't been reading your Bible as much as you should this week, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, if you've been sinning by neglecting God's word, you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The end. Don't think, okay, well, I forgot to read it last Tuesday, so I'm going to read it twice as much on Wednesday to make up for it so that God's not mad at me. That's wrong. Okay? That's false motive. Because your relationship is then established on your performance when it needs to be based on Jesus' performance. We want our motivation to be grace. You realize, I didn't read my Bible like I should. You confess it to God and you realize, wow, he's forgiven me of everything. Now I want to read the Bible more. Do you hear the difference?
Right.
Here's the reality. We fail constantly. We're just nothing but failures all day, every day. But he's forgiven us anyway.
Yeah.
We don't abuse grace then. and go, oh, whoop-de-doo, now I can sin all that I want. Mm-hmm. Just the opposite effect happens. Knowing that you've been forgiven of your sins causes you to desire not to sin. And on the day, Anna, when you wake up and you go, you know, I did so good yesterday. Uh-oh, you've forgotten the gospel. Because you know what? You didn't.
Yeah.
You read your Bible, but you should have read it more, and you should have witnessed more, because you're not perfect. You fall short every day. Don't forget the gospel. When you think you're doing good, you're not. When you're doing bad, you're not so bad that you're not forgiven.
Right.
And that'll get you to want to take those classes that you were telling me about and be a disciple and chase after him. Not because, oh boy, that's going to keep me in, but because I am in. Make sense?
Right, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
All right.
And you're right. It is so freeing. It's so liberating. And so just hallelujah. Praise God. He's good.
Amen. Hey, pleasure to meet you. All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the chat.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, see you. We are at Gainesville State University. It's Witness Wednesday. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.